Genesis chapter number 4, we've seen the creation, and now we're doing our best to preach through the book of Genesis. We've seen the creation in chapter 1 and in chapter number 2. We saw the curse in chapter number 3, when sin entered the world, all the way to chapter 4 and verse number 15. Then we've come to a little bit lengthier section, the catastrophe, which will go from chapter 4 in verse number 16 all the way to chapter number 9. The outline gets pretty intense here. Underneath Roman numeral 3, catastrophe, we wrote down last week, letter A, the world fast ripening for judgment. Chapters 4, verse 16, all the way to the end of chapter number 6. We saw number 1 underneath that last week, God's assessment of those times, which is chapter 4, verse 16, all the way to chapter 6 and verse number 7. Brother Joshua joked he's going to have to bring his laptop to keep up, but he didn't bring it, so living courageously, right? All right. We saw underneath number 1, God's assessment of those times. We saw, and we talked about this last week, little letter A, the ungodly, described in chapter 4, verse 16, all the way down to verse number 24. That was the line of Cain. And with these different men of Cain, which I believe epitomizes the end times, we see them and their brazenness and sin. We see their achievements, their inventions. Just as a reminder, in chapter 4, verse number 20, just a pick a verse, and Adah bare Jabal, he was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. So it mentions them, and we saw that their lives were one that marked an economy, entertainment, technology, which, again, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And we see those very same things. That's our culture today. We had the ungodly. Now, tonight we want to look at the godly line. I like alliteration, so I put the unworldly. I don't know if that's a word. But in any case, right? But the godly line in chapter 4, verse number 25. All right, and we'll look at this other line. And we're going to read all the way into chapter number 5. We'll get, Lord willing, to the end of chapter 5. It's a pretty easy outline. But look at this with me in chapter 4, verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. This is, chapter 5, verse 1, the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God made he him, male and female created he them and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. We're going to pause there. We'll read the rest as we go. Let's pray. Father, Lord, again, we just ask you, Lord, just to please speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, help us as we look at this book, the book of beginnings. And Lord, you are, again, teaching some important lessons here, and I pray that you'd open our hearts and our mind and our ears to the Word of God tonight. I pray you'd push everything else aside, and that, God, you would help us, and Lord, whatever our spiritual need is, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's look at this together, the godly line or the unworldly line. It goes back all the way to Adam. And we'll outline it here in just a second. But the ungodly world, as we read last week, begins to take shape. We saw they built a city. They tried to replace Eden. They began to make accomplishments in these different areas, making a name for themselves. But while this ungodly line was going on, there was this godly line that was also there and continuing. And the fact is this, that God never leaves himself and has never and will never leave himself without a witness. We can't ever get the Elijah syndrome that we're the only ones trying to do right. There are countless others who are right in the battle with us. And praise the Lord for them all. And but there was this line that was still being a witness for God. Now, in Cain's line, we saw what they accomplished. One did cattle and began an economy. One did the harp and the organ and started our arts and our entertainment. One decided to again be a worker with brass and iron, and no doubt weaponry and technology took off. There was a sister whose name basically meant desirable, and you see a lust-driven world. And while all these things were going on, and then when you read through the next list of names through the line of Seth, you're not going to find any inventions. You're not going to find no talk about money. You're not going to hear any talk about music or arts or entertainment. But you are going to see something, and I read it there in verse number 3 of chapter number 5. It says, and Adam, what's the next word?
Lived.
Look at verse number 5. All the days that Adam what?
Lived.
Were 930 years, and he what? You're not going to read that about Cain's line. And in every one of these that are listed here in the line of Seth, God makes point through the Holy Spirit to twice say about each of them, they lived. They lived. You won't read that about Cain's line, but you read it about this godly line. It will mention about them, every one of them, that they died, except for Enoch. We know that story. That they died. You won't find that in Cain's line. I think there's a really simple lesson there. That a life lived for the Lord is a life that is well lived. If you don't live for God, you've not lived. If you've not lived for the Lord, you've missed out on the purpose of life. You say, well, why is death mentioned? Because precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. For us, it's a grieving time, but for God, it's a grand day. As they enter heaven, enter eternity with the Lord. So there's a great contrast between the two. We don't have all the inventions and all the great things that they did other than this, but what greater can be, they live for the Lord. Praise the Lord for it. And for all of our young people, at the end of your life, if you can look back and say, I live for God, then you lived the right kind of life. Then you, ready? You really lived. I'm not saying God doesn't bless believers with accomplishments. Of course He does. But who had the most money and who started whatever is not important. What's important is they lived for God. So I want to encourage us in that fact. And again, you see how many years every one of them lived. You don't see that in Cain's line. Because they wasted their life. They wasted their years. So let's get in this outline a little bit deeper. Ready? We had letter B, the unworldly or the godly line. Number one underneath that, how this new seed commenced. How this new seed commenced, starting in chapter 4 and verse number 25. We've already read it. We saw, first of all, in chapter 4, verse 25 and 26, a new birth. A new birth. It says there, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. There was this new birth. She referred to Eve did as appointed me another seed instead of Abel. She was still expecting, because of the prophecy of the Lord, that through her seed, a Savior would come. And through this seed, he did come. She was expecting this. And so you see, this new birth, I had little number one underneath that letter A. I won't keep repeating these things. But you see, he was a promised seed. The one that would lead to Christ. And that he was. You see, a praying seed. In verse number 26, Seth was born. And then the Bible says, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. You say, what does that mean? I believe it means this, faith. These men, they began to hear of the story of God's sacrifice and the promised Messiah. We know from the New Testament, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. I believe these men began to hear these things. Conviction set in. They knew what was to come, and they began to call upon the name of the Lord, be it for salvation, be it for, again, supplication and prayer, be it in service. I believe it included being in song with public worship, but I believe it can pass the whole thing. They began to direct their hearts towards God. This was the epitome of this line. They began to call upon the name of the Lord for salvation. They began to call upon the name of the Lord with their needs in prayer. They began to call upon the name of the Lord as we did tonight in prayer and in song. But this is this seed. It's a special seed. You see this new birth. And by the way, when any of us experience a new birth, these same things should happen too. Aren't you glad you're saved? Amen. And after we're saved, we call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. We call upon the name of the Lord with our prayer request. We should direct our praise to the name of the Lord. All of these things should be done just as it was here. We saw a new birth. Then you see, secondly, or letter B, I guess, a new book. In chapter 5, verse number 1, this is the book of the generations of Adam. So the new book, verses 1 through 5, in this book are written the names of those that did right. These men that did right. Little one underneath this, you see, man is created in God's image. It rehearses what took place there in the Garden of Eden. This is the book of the generation of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. So man is created in God's image. What does that mean? Again, I've already spoke on it, just in brief passing. I don't believe it means that they look like God physically. It means that as there is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God created man different than all other creation with a body, a soul, and a spirit. We were created in the image of God, a trichotomy, if you will, and we have to respond to God. But they were born in the image. Adam and Eve were created in the image of God. So man created in God's image, and then in verses 3, 4, and 5, you see man created in man's image. Because there's a big difference. It says there in verse number 1, they were made in the likeness of God. Now, skip down to verse number 3, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image. Now, you say, is that referring to looking alike? I would assume they did somewhat. That's just an assumption. But man would be created in Adam's image. They'd be born in Adam's image now, because they're born spiritually dead. When Adam ate that fruit, the day that he ate it, he died. For as by one man sin enters into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon what? All men, so that all have sinned. Because of that first Adam, man is born a sinner. You see, in verses number 3, you see a family produced. And Adam lived 130 years, and we got a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. A family produced. And then you see in verses 4 and 5, a funeral performed. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Abel had already died. Adam dies. He lived to be 930 years old. That's kind of mind-blowing, isn't it? I don't know if you ever thought about it in this way. I'm not going to bore you with all the statistics, but you can study this out. That meant that Adam, during the life of Adam, he, of course, knew Seth, his son. He knew Enos. He knew Canaan. He knew Mahalalel. He knew Jared. And he knew Enoch. Every one of those lines, if you do the math. You know, Enoch, who walked with God, he talked to Adam. Now, Adam died before Enoch was taken up, but he lived throughout all of them. That's just, it blows my mind to think of that. But anyways, all right. Again, he would have known them. They would have known Adam. Just amazing. Anyways, right? You're not impressed with that as much as I was. That was pretty cool, right? When Adam died, that would have put Enoch at 306 years old, 50 years before he was taken up. But Adam died, And so now we have Abel, who had died, and we have Adam, who had died. And then Enoch would be the next that we know. He didn't die. He was just taken up to God. And praise the Lord, the first three, if you want to call them deaths, and I know Enoch was not, they all went to heaven. Praise the Lord for that. But he watched, and Adam would have watched this godly line. I'm sure, just as any grandpa, there was great joy there. I'm sure his heart rejoiced to see his sons calling on the name of the Lord. I'm sure his heart rejoiced in these things, but at the same time, understand this, Adam also lived while Cain's line took. And he had to watch these things as an ungodly line also rose. That would have been heartbreaking for Adam. He would have to live with the thought and the knowledge that his choice led to some terrible things. But we saw, number one, how the new seed commenced. Now, number two, how the new seed continued, which is the rest of chapter number 5. I told you, easy outline. Now we have a list of names in their life. Every one of them says they lived twice. They died. Let's look at this real quick. First of all, verses 6 through 20, we have patriarchs. The patriarchs. Number one, we have Seth in verses 6 through 8. Let's read it. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived, after he begat Enos, 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. So first we have, under the patriarch, Seth. Seth lived 912 years. Not as old as his father, almost, 912. The name Seth means appointed. Appointed. I believe named this because Eve believed he was appointed to take the place of Abel and that line and that seed. But he was named Seth, the appointed. Then we have in verses 9, 10, and 11, you have Enos. It says, and Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And Enos lived, after he begat Canaan, 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years and he died. So Enos lives to be 905 years. The name Enos means mortal man. Mortal man. Named with the reminder that man will die. Mortal man. Adam and Eve understood that there was death, that every man needed to prepare for death, that man was mortal. While Cain was building his city and making progress, Enos was a reminder that man and his progress will one day die and cease. You have Seth, Enos, and then you have Canaan, verses 12 to 14. And Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And Canaan lived, after he begat Mahalalel, 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. Canaan lived to be 910. His name means purchased possession. Purchased possession. This idea, and again, I believe that you're going to see in these first five generations a form of the gospel story, but a purchased possession. They understood that he was purchased. He belonged to somebody else. And I believe from their line, they understood he belonged to God. And we had what we preached on this morning on ourselves. We're mortal. We can't do things. We will fail. But we've been purchased by God, and praise the Lord for that. Number four, you have Mahalalel in verses 15 to 17. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived, after he begat Jared, 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. So Mahalalel died as a baby, 895 years old. His name means praising God. Praising God. Cain's line was busy praising themselves. Mahalalel means praising God. Then you had Jared, as was just mentioned, in verses 18 to 20. It says there, and Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Jared lived to be 962 years old, the oldest one so far. His name means descent or coming down. The idea behind his name, to my studies, is kind of like an army coming down, a great mass coming down, and the word descent, marching on. Now they all lived. Twice it says. Say, what great contributions did they make to society? They preached Jesus. You say, no, what they do for society? They preached Jesus. They stood for what's right. These men weren't perfect. I know that because no man is. I'm sure they had their share of mistakes. But they continued a seed that called upon the Lord. A godly line. These patriarchs, just stop and think about them with me, appointed, mortal man, a purchased possession, praising God, descent. I might be putting more into it than it should be, I don't know. But I'm thankful that before the founding of the world, there was an appointed person who would die for the sins of the world. Knowing that man is mortal and that man will die and the punishment of sin is death. But praise the Lord, because of his death, we are a purchased possession. Amen. And once you're saved and receive that knowledge, praise the Lord, we'll spend eternity praising God. And someday, he's coming back. You see the patriarchs, and then you see the prophets. The prophets in verse number 21 down to verse number 32. I say prophets because they all prophesied. Prophets. Number one, we see Enoch. Enoch in verses 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Probably could, and probably should sometimes, spend an entire message on the life of Enoch. Enoch was a special man. Enoch, I believe, and I outlined it in this way, that Enoch, he witnessed to the presence of God. He walked with God. I put three little subpoints under his name. He plodded with God there in verse number 22. He walked with God. Friends, I cannot again stress the importance of having a walk with God. A time every day we spend with the Lord and speaking to Him. But let's venture away from here just to see His life real quick. He not only plotted for God, but He prophesied about God. Look all the way towards the back of our Bibles in the book of Jude. We'll come right back. But look at Jude and in verse number 14. Jude in verse number 14. Refers to Enoch here as well. He not only plotted with God, but plotted, P-L-O-D-D. Not plotted like planned something, all right? But he walked with God. And then he prophesied about God. Jude, verse number 14, says this, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. He prophesied. And that day is still to come. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about a day yet to come. Isn't that amazing? But he prophesied about it. The Lord's coming back with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all. He's talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, how would Enoch know about that? Because he walked with God. He spent time with God every day. He walked with him. And then in Hebrews, as we're making our way back, stop real quick at Hebrews in chapter number 11. In Hebrews chapter number 11, look in verse number 5 in Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews 11 and in verse number 5. It says here in this, what we call the hall of faith, if you will, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So he plotted with God, he prophesied about God, and he pleased God. He lived a life that pleased his Lord. Enoch had to be something very special. And his life and his walk with God was so personal. Now that's my biblical points about Enoch, what I know. I would probably add a personal thought about him. Everybody know the difference, right? I don't have a scripture for this. It's just my assumption from my biblical studies that there's yet to come a day when he will preach about God. My personal belief, because the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, that God has reserved to come back and is appointed about in the book of Revelation, who will walk the streets of Jerusalem and will preach and point people to the Lord. My personal belief, and that's all it is. You say, I don't believe that, and that's fine, because I don't have a Bible verse, and neither do you. But my personal belief is that God reserved two, and I believe that Enoch and Elijah are going to be those men. And I believe God caught them away, and has taken them, and has reserved them for this appointed time. They will die in the streets of Jerusalem, whoever these two witnesses are. They will die, and they will have great power of the Lord, but they will die. But then they will rise again, and the whole world will see it. And they're going to realize this is not normal, all right? There's something special about these men. So that's my personal Travis Burke thought. Take it or leave it, all right? But we know that he plotted with God, he prophesied about God, and he lived a life that pleased God. May we do the same. We see Enoch, who lived 365 years. Then God took him. Back in our text, we then have Methuselah. Methuselah in verses 25 to 27. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Methuselah lived, and as far as we know, according to the Word of God, he lived longer than any other man recorded. He lived 969 years in his life. Methuselah, I believe, witnessed, if Enoch witnessed to the presence of God, he walked with God. Methuselah, I believe, is a witness to the patience of God. Patience of God. His name literally means, when he dies, it cometh. That's what his name means. Referring to the fact that judgment was coming. And when Methuselah died, judgment would fall. And by the way, it did. Just as his name prophesies. But his name is a prophecy. When he dies, it cometh. But let's just take his life for 969 years. And by no mistake did God prophesy that judgment would come when this man died. And this man lived longer than any other man. Which testifies how patient our God is. God could have brought judgment any time before that. But by no mistake did he choose the longest living man. Because he is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. During this time, Noah's preaching. During this time, Enoch's living a life and prophesying. During this time, we even have these other men, Jared and Canaan and Enos. Their lives are all lapping each other. And they're pointing people to the Lord. But it shows the patience of God. And I'm thankful for the patience of God. Thirdly, we have Lamech. Lamech in verses 28 to 31. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "The same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. Lamech lived to be 777 years old. I believe he witnessed to the promise of God. Maybe even put the peace of God. But he looked forward to a rest. Verse 29, you can see it. The same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands. He looked forward to a rest. You know, life sometimes is hard. And he looked forward to a time when he could be done. I don't think he quit. I know he didn't. But he looked forward to a rest. You see, what was so difficult? Number one, they're dealing with a sin-cursed world. But there's also this other line of people who by this time, when Lamech was alive, that every thought and imagination that they had was wicked. It's hard to stand for Christ in our culture today, but not as hard as it was for Lamech. He faced a society that hated truth. They loved themselves. But he didn't quit. He said, there's a rest coming. And I look at you today, believer. Don't quit. Be not weary in well-doing. There's a rest coming. You have Lamech. And then you have, we're introduced to in verse 32, Noah. It says, and Noah was 500 years old. And Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, every other person that's listed, we know they had other sons and daughters. The Bible says so, I believe, about almost every one of them. But Noah's three sons are mentioned by name. Because through these three, all humanity would come. But Noah, I believe, witnessed to the purpose of God. The purpose of God. That God was going to use at this time, and I wrote down these three thoughts under Noah just from what we know about him. That of preaching, preparation, and preservation. I wrote down these three words because Noah's life, we know from the New Testament, we'll talk about him later. But Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He preached the truth. We know that Noah prepared for the judgment of God. He spent years building an ark, preparation and following God's commands. And he is the testimony of the preservation of God. While judgment fell, Noah was preserved, he and his family. So you had the patriarchs whose names mean appointed, mortal man, purchased possession, praising God, descent, the Lord's coming back. The prophets who all witnessed to the presence of God, the patience of God, the promises of God, the purpose of God. The fact is this, that they were dedicated to continue doing what's right. And if you want to glean anything from this as we close, I know there is a world and a line out there that is not like us. And I know there's a world out there that controls the microphone. And I know there's a world out there that is seemingly banking and popular and being worshipped by other people. But I look at you and tell you, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Don't throw your hands up. Don't quit. God has a purpose for His line. If you're saved, you're a child of God. Keep on preaching. Keep on preparing for the day when we'll see Him. Because I promise, God will preserve and see us through. From the Word of God, I give you God's promise.